I asked. Antonio raised his brows and looked me over. Clearly, he thought I might be suffering from the same affliction if I entertained anything Claudia said as truth. I didn't care what he thought. I had a growing suspicion I already knew who she meant based on the mention of Valentina, but wanted more proof. Was it your aunt, Carolina? She spun stories like sugar, and they were airy and sweet until they burnt. And now we'll all burn, because he's here, and mad. And the gates! The gates! She said to protect the gates. But he's not chained to them anymore, is he? The poison was sweet. I still taste it. Lingering. Sticking in my throat. Choking. He has secrets. He wants to devour. Empty glasses put full of him. No. Empty glass. How did he do it? A chalice or vase. Vessels empty until full. He has the book. The heart. He needs the body to steal the soul. A flicker of movement caught my attention. I glanced up. Several more members of the Brotherhood had joined us. They silently stood in a half circle, blocking us from the monastery. Some clutched long wooden rosaries in white-knuckled fists. Others looked primed for violence, their attention fastened on my friend. Claudia needed to get to safety before they tried exorcising a demon from her that didn't exist.
"What madness is these?" Brother Carmine asked, his expression hard.
My heart thrummed wildly.
"Is she possessed by evil?"
No, she's all right.
Antonio waved him off.
Just a little too much to drink.
I didn't think members of the Holy Order told lies, but I was glad he did. Antonio was still on our side, no matter what his brothers might think. Will you take her to my house? I think she must have been exposed to something. She needs rest and tea. Tell Nonna she should give her some of the alkanet root she has. Antonio chewed on his bottom lip, looking doubtful about the likelihood of that folk remedy working, but didn't argue. He offered his hand to her.
"Will you come with me, Claudia? We're going for a walk. It'll help you clear your head. Fresh air always does."
She turned a troubled gaze on me, and I smiled. "He's right. A walk will make you feel better. And so will some herbal tea and rest. Are you ready to go?" "Yes, but Domenico isn't." Claudia slipped her hand into Antonio's, then cringed. "He said he's not ready, and he will not move. Time is sleeping like water through his hands, but still he waits. He waits and waits. He wants her to choose. He knows she will, soon. Then he will take her heart, too, and her soul. He wants to kill again, the ultimate prize." "Domenico?" I asked, turning to Antonio, when my friend retreated back into her own fractured world. "Was he here earlier?"
I think so, but can't remember for certain. He's here most days. You don't think...
He slid his attention to Claudia, who'd begun mumbling in that strange tongue again. Concern filled his expression.
"You don't think he hurt her, do you?"
"It's stark, dark and musty, and death is lurking. It's gotten a taste and craves more." Claudia blinked rapidly, suddenly seeming more like herself. "Is he still here?"
"No," Antonia said. "Domenico's gone."
"But don't worry." I helped her to her feet. "I'll find him." I faced Antonio. "Do you know where he lives?" He shook his head. Of course, things wouldn't be easy. They never were. "I'll check their arancini stand just in case they're working late."
"Alone?"
Antonio's mouth pressed into a tight line of worry. Brown hair fell across his brow. He looked so young and inexperienced compared to Raff.
"If he did something, maybe we should go together."
I mustered up what I hoped was a reassuring smile. While I'd love to have him with me when I confronted Domenico, there were questions I needed to ask that he couldn't be privy to. And not just because he was human. I wouldn't be able to mention the dark arts, or toss around accusations of cavorting with demon princes in front of a member of the Holy Brotherhood. I'll be all right. I don't believe Domenico did anything sinister, I lied. He might know if she ingested any strange food or drink. Who knows? Maybe there was some mold or other toxin present for one of her desiccations. Or maybe she had a bad bottle of wine. Valentina's death is probably to blame if she drank too much. Murder isn't easy to accept. That seemed to mollify Antonio. It was perfectly logical. And humans loved logic, especially when it explained away the unexplainable.
She did complain of the bay leaves being rotten earlier. I believe she burned them in the preparation room.
See? I smiled. I'm sure that's all it is. She inhaled mold or something equally bad. This will pass with some fresh air and sleep. You'll see. With a polite nod goodbye, he escorted Claudia out of the courtyard. I waited until they were safely down the street and far away from the lingering Brotherhood before I left too. I tried not to think about the searing accusation burning in Brother Carmine's gaze as I hurried away. Since I still didn't know where Domenico's family lived, and I was fairly confident their arancini stall had long since closed for the night, confronting him would have to wait until morning. I knew where to find Claudia's Aunt Carolina, though, and she and I were going to exchange some words. I understood how grief warped a person into doing things they'd normally never do. I'd prayed to the goddess of death and fury and had summoned a demon. But asking someone else to do that when she could have done it on her own. I hoped to rein in my temper before I saw Carolina. I stomped off in the direction of her neighborhood, unable to wrap my mind around what she'd convinced her niece to do and how dangerous it had been. I'd asked Claudia to use a powerful spell to ward our homes because I didn't know how. And because not much could go wrong. What Carolina did was much more dangerous. I rounded the corner and felt a prickle of energy between my shoulder blades. I kept walking, picking up my pace. The sensation continued, which meant I was being followed. And whoever they were furious. I could think of at least one demon I made that angry on occasion. Wrath probably returned from his visit with whomever he'd been trying to impress earlier than expected, and wasn't happy I'd escaped my pretty cage. Good. Maybe his evening didn't go as planned either. I turned and glared into the shadows. I really hated their stupid magical ink that connected us, letting him find me when I didn't wish to be found. I'd assumed when I broke the spell that bound us together, the tattoo would fade. Apparently, some gifts couldn't be returned. Stop lurking, it's beneath you. If you've got something to say, say it.
Bold for a witch.
The voice wasn't familiar, and his accent was hard to place, almost English, but not. I peered down the street, pulse racing. A few paces away, a dark figure peeled away from the building. I instinctually stepped back. He followed, his movements quick and smooth.
Your blood smells like spiced wine. Give us a taste.
Who are you? I fumbled for my moon-blessed chalk, forgetting this dress was a gift from Wrath and wasn't one from home with secret pockets. What do you want? The man stepped into a shaft of moonlight. He wore a long duster that seemed to be cut from the thickest slice of night. Rings glittered on each of his knuckles. They made good weapons. My gaze slowly travelled up. Ice blonde hair, eyes that looked like they'd been chipped from a glacier, a cruel slash of a mouth twisted up on one side. Human in appearance, until he smiled wider, exposing a set of sharp fangs. Vampiro. I stopped moving, stopped breathing. As a witch, I really needed to stop thinking some creatures were mere myths and legends. You're... I snapped my mouth shut, hating the stammer that gave away my emotions. So much for working on keeping them hidden from my enemies. Wrath would knock himself in the head with the dull end of his dagger if he saw me now.
It's been so long since I drank deeply from one of your kind.
His gaze traveled to my neck. He was before me in an instant.
Venom is pleasurable. At least if I choose to grant such a gift. Would you like a present, little witch? Untold ecstasy while I feed on you?
I swallowed hard. No, thank you. He circled me, his long jacket blowing on a night breeze. My whole body tensed.
Very well. Perhaps next time.
I sincerely hoped there would never be a next time I encountered a vampire alone in a darkened alleyway. One time was enough to give me nightmares for the remainder of my mortal life. His jacket brushed the back of my calf, and I sucked in a sharp breath. The corners of his lips edged up. He stepped closer. Fear seemed to delight him.
Apologies. I can see my proposition of pleasure has frightened you.
He sketched a mock bow, but never took his attention from my throat. I thought quickly about the stories from childhood. In the legends Nonna shared with us, vampires weren't known for impulse control. I felt my vein throbbing and willed it to stop, which only made it pulse harder. I didn't want a slight temptation to turn into animalistic need.
My name is Alexei. Prince Envy requests an audience with you. His Highness has much to discuss. But first, let's go on a little stroll, you and I. That should give them enough time.
He offered his arm like a perfect gentleman. I didn't move to take it. Give who enough time for what? Envy? I asked, losing patience. Stop talking in riddles. The vampire's fangs gleamed in the moonlight.
Mare e Vitigno. Such a lovely name. Rolls right off the tongue.
Sea and vine. I went very still. Blood roared in my ears. Envy knew about our restaurant. He would torture my parents and... I forced myself to calm down. There was no reason to panic anymore. Claudia had shielded our home against demons. It was late, and the restaurant was closed. Thank the goddess my family would be home now and were protected. A dark smile touched the corners of my lips. I would very much like to have the demon test the deadly magic. Tell Prince Envy I decline his offer, and I dare him to try and enter my home.
My prince said I ought to mention that spells, like witch bones, are easily broken, if one knows where to apply the correct pressure, or in this case, who to target.
I went cold. What are you talking about?
Did you think you could fool a prince of hell, little witch? Do you truly believe Envy hasn't had spies watching your home?
His smile was filled with malice. Demon shields and wards are tricky,
but can be broken, especially by the witch who cast them.
That's a lie. I stepped back, shaking my head. Claudia was safe. Antonio had taken her to my house. My stomach flipped. They could have been intercepted. Or attacked on the way. Fear clawed its way into my heart. That can't be true. The wards
are down.
He offered his arm again.
Your family should be with the prince by now. The more you struggle, the harder it will be on them. He does not like to be kept waiting. Boredom is a terrible affliction in the kingdom of the wicked.
Envy is... He's at sea in Vine with my family now. Alexei nodded. I wasn't going to simply take a vampire's word for it. I offered him a hateful grin as I whispered a forbidden truth spell. Alexei wasn't mortal, so I ignored the glimmer of wrongness I felt by invoking a forbidden power. Did Envy have Claudia break the ward on my family's home? He gritted his teeth as the truth was wrenched from him.
Yes.
Are they at my family's restaurant now?
Yes.
I dropped my sister's amulet as if burned. I recalled the way Envy had forced me to take Wrath's dagger to my heart, ready to gouge it out. Then, I imagined him doing the same thing to my family and friends. In fact, he might have already started his games. Our kitchen had cleavers and knives and all sorts of tools that could be used as weapons or torture devices hanging on the wall. I imagined that was why he'd chosen it as our meeting place. Without wasting another moment, I ran. I tripped over my skirts, and the taunting sound of the vampire's laugh followed me down darkened roads. I ignored him. He no longer mattered. Getting to Sea and Vine was my only focus. I charged down narrow alleys and uneven streets, jumped over buckets of waste and shoved through lovers holding hands and strolling under the light of the moon. I covered the mile in what felt like moments and burst through the front doors, panting. I quickly scanned the room, searching for blood and gore and signs of a struggle. My focus landed on the demon prince.
I do love punctuality.
Envy shut a pocket watch with an audible snap.
You're right on schedule, pet. The show is about to begin.
Chapter 39.
It's truly a shame about your grandma.
The Prince of Envy sat at a corner table, his back to the wall, surveying the bounty of food set before him. The room was empty except for the two of us. I couldn't decide if that was comforting or more terrifying.
All that power gone.
Maybe I was too late, and my parents and Nonna and Claudia and Antonio were all lying dead in the kitchen. As quickly as the thought appeared, I banished it. He'd said the show was about to begin. I clutched onto the hope I could do something to stop whatever sinister thing he'd planned. Where are my family and friends? He acted as if I hadn't spoken at all. Envy picked up his wine glass and swirled the liquid, breathing in the scent before taking a careful sip. His suit tonight was a deep forest green. Ferns lined the lapels and cuffs. The hilt of his emerald-studded dagger glinted from a strap he wore over his jacket.
I hear your grandmother might not be able to speak again. Tough fate for a witch. I imagine it's hard to cast spells without a voice. Herbs and gemstones are fine, but those powerful incantations are nothing without words to set them ablaze. Isn't that right?
So he'd been behind the attack on Nonna, not greed. I thought about the human messenger and the mysterious hooded figure he'd sold secrets to. Envy was the traitor we'd been looking for. I'd wager all of my magic on it. Wrath had been so convinced Envy would never rise up against them that he didn't even look into the threat, which opened up an opportunity for the jealous demon, one Envy couldn't resist taking. I wanted to scream and scream and scream. I considered it a gift from the goddess that I was able to maintain some semblance of dignity. I lifted my chin. I said, "Where are my parents?"
"Locked in the kitchen."
"My grandmother?"
"I left her at your home. She's no use to me in her current state."
"And my friends?"
"Safe. For now."
"What do you want?"
"Sit." He motioned to the seat across from him. "Dine with me."
When I didn't jump to obey his command, he leaned forward, his voice edged with menace.
I vow to personally torture your family, your friends, and anyone who ventures into this fine establishment if you reject my civilized offer, pet. Then I'll have Alexei hunt down those you love and drain them dry. Now be a good girl and take a seat. Oh, don't.
Alexei appeared behind me, grinning as I flinched away from him. I hadn't heard his approach.
I'd like to feast before sunrise.
I glanced between the demon prince and vampire. I wasn't sure which of them was the bigger threat. The prince poured a second glass of wine. He'd slicked his chin-length hair back tonight, placing attention on the unusual jewel tone of his eyes, the sharpness of his jaw.
Don't tell me you're choosing a bloodbath over a glass of wine and pleasant conversation.
I glared at him. I might be helpless, but I didn't have to appear so. I'll sit, as long as you promise to spare my family and friends, and leave here once we're finished. And by here, I mean this city.
You're not in a position to be making demands, but I respect your effort. Now, sit. Drink.
With little choice, I joined Envy at the table. He nodded toward the goblet of wine. I picked it up and pretended to take a sip. I didn't trust him not to have tampered with it before I arrived. If he was planning to sneak me back to hell, he'd have to take me by force. You're the one who's been working against pride, I said. He didn't deny it. He watched me in an unnervingly close way, like he was seeing through layers of skin and bone, and found the heart of who I was and all I aspired to be.
I understand why Wrath is intrigued by you.
Intrigue was probably the last thing Wrath felt toward me. Did you ask your vampire to deliver me here just to discuss your brother?
He loves a good challenge. It's the war in him. Makes him want to conquer and win at any cost.
He took another sip of wine, his attention straying to my neck.
It will be hard for him to give you up when the time comes. But he will. Do not delude yourself into thinking you matter to him. We princes of hell are selfish creatures. We do not suffer the same range of sentiments as mortals, and those born in this peculiar realm. You are standing between him and something he sought for a very long time. In the end, he will choose himself, as we all do.
I set my goblet down, the contents splashing onto the worn wooden table. If this is what you came all the way from your wicked kingdom to say, that's unfortunate. You're not telling me anything I don't already know. Nor are you telling me anything I particularly care about. I saw the exact moment I walked into the carefully laid trap he'd set for me. He cut into a stuffed sardine with impeccable manners. After he washed down the bite of food with more wine, he gave me a lazy smile, though his gaze was sharp enough to stab.
If you figured out my brother so well, why don't you tell me what he's really after? I'm sure a smart girl like you already knows, and doesn't need my humble assistance in that matter.
Envy wanted me to need him, to beg for knowledge out of mortal curiosity. Then he'd exchange it for something he wanted from me. And he must want something very badly if he'd go through this much trouble. I got a sick sense of satisfaction for being a disappointment to the demon. What do you want, Envy? Why am I really here?
The first night we met, I suspected you were in possession of something I need. Do you know what that is?
I thought back to that first encounter. I'd tucked my amulet inside my bodice right before he'd emerged from the shadows. Back then, I was worried he'd been after my sister's diary. Knowing what I do now, I bet he could sense the power of the amulet. You want my cornicello?
Close. I want both your amulet and your sister's. And you're going to give them to me.
Why would I do that?
Because I have in my possession something you want.
I shivered in place. I knew what he meant. He had my parents, my friends. Nonna might be home now, but that didn't mean she was safe. I held very still, waiting for him to deliver the blow. He finished the last bite of food and exhaled, sounding immensely pleased. He pushed his plate back, then snapped his fingers. A demon that had the head of a ram, complete with rounded horns above its ears, and the body of a human, dragged my parents out by their collars and tossed them down. Their eyes were cloudy, their movements sluggish. They didn't seem to be aware of what was going on. I jumped up from my seat, but Envy shook his head.
Sit, pet. We're not through. There's more.
With no other option available, I dropped back into my seat.
Good. You're finally taking this seriously. I've waited long enough. Give me the horn within the next 24 hours. And your loved ones will not be maimed. Tell anyone who failed to meet my demands, and they will be coming to stay with me in House Envy with the rest of my curiosities. And things will end much worse for you. This, I can promise, is no idle threat. Have I made myself perfectly clear?
I glanced at my mother and father again. They hadn't moved from where the horned demon unceremoniously dumped them, and stared blankly at nothing. In a way, it was a blessing from the Goddess of Mercy that they weren't entirely conscious for this. My eyes burned with unshed tears. What did you do to them?
You're to be concerned with what will become of them yet if you don't give me what I'm asking for.
I don't have the other amulet. I kept my focus on my parents, trying to think of a way out of this. My half was stolen the night my grandmother was attacked.
Then I suggest you start looking for it. One half won't do.
If you attacked my grandmother, don't you already have my amulet?
Let me provide a bit of advice. Accusations without evidence are worthless.
Envy poured another glass of wine.
By this time tomorrow, I expect to be in possession of both amulets. I will move your family and friends to your home tonight. Meet me there once you have the other amulet, and we will trade your family and friends for the Horn of Hades.
I went to remove my sister's cornicello from my neck, but he held up a hand to stall me. Why not take this half tonight?
If I touch it now, it will alert those I wish to keep in the dark. I don't want to draw any attention until I possess the entire Horn of Hades.
Wrath didn't care about the horn before. Why can't I ask for his help? Envy gave me an odd look.
Wrath will never be the hero in your story. He's carved from something other. In fact, he might be the biggest liar of us all.
I scoffed, which only seemed to delight him.
If you don't believe me, then ask Wrath about the final soul he has to collect. The one that will grant him freedom from the underworld, regardless of the curse.
I stared at the smug demon prince. I'd say it was a lie, but deep down I suspected it wasn't. I knew Wrath had his own agenda, and this felt like the final piece I'd been missing. But a soul? I shook my head. He'd saved me when I'd been attacked by the Viperidae. If this was true, he could have bargained with me then. Or maybe he hadn't told me because he'd wanted to use it to his advantage when the time was right. I exhaled. I was getting paranoid. You're lying.
Am I? I thought you knew better. Why do you think he, the mighty demon of war, cares about safely escorting a witch to the underworld?
Because he wants to break the devil's curse. As I said it, I heard the doubt creeping in.
I have a secret, pet.
Envy leaned across the table, his poisonous gaze alight with triumph.
Once he has collected his final soul, the curse won't matter to him. He will have full power and the ability to walk this realm freely without an anchor. He can either choose to stay in the Seven Circles and rule his royal house, or he can roam the earth until the end of days. Choice is powerful, and we princes do love our power.
He offered me a slow, vicious grin.
You didn't think that deep down he could be redeemed, did you?
Chapter 40. A prince of hell's greatest pleasure is causing discord. Before an attack, his irises turn darker than a starless night with flecks of red, a sign of his wicked bloodlust. Do not engage them in battle. You will never win. Notes from the Decarlo Grimoire. The tall, arched door clicked shut behind me. It hardly made a sound, but Wrath emerged from the darkness of the abandoned palace, his face half hidden in shadow. He discarded the serpent jacket, and his dark shirt was unbuttoned and rumpled, much like his hair. I thought about running my fingers through it, and my heartbeat quickened. I didn't want to believe Envy. Wrath had been there for me even when he said he wouldn't be. And yet...
You heard? You look...
His voice trailed off as I slowly walked over to where he stood. He didn't move, hardly seemed to breathe as I backed him up against the wall, his shirt bunched in my grasp. His golden eyes latched onto mine, burning. I wondered if he sensed my emotions, if they somehow affected his too. I held him captive there, caging his body with my own. He could break from my grasp at any moment, but he didn't. I eased my grip from his shirt and slowly splayed my hands over his chest instead. He looked down into my face, his expression wary but intense. Having all his attention directed at me was intoxicating. I want to trust you, I said quietly, holding his stare. His heart thudded solidly beneath my touch. Why don't you tell me what you really want? Let me in. His gaze fell to my mouth, before he tore it away a breath later. I didn't think the flash of desire I saw was fake. I knew the emotion it stirred within me wasn't either. I'd always imagined he'd dutifully take an enemy to bed if it meant he'd gain something from it. Now I wasn't sure that's how he felt at all. There was a charge steadily building between us, and Wrath seemed poised to let it detonate, because he wanted to. Maybe I did, too. I moved a hand inside his shirt, keeping close contact with his skin. His pounding heart betrayed the response he was desperately trying to hide. My hand inched lower. The heat of him, the solidness. Suddenly, I wanted this to be real. One second I was standing there, and the next, my mouth was on his. Punishing, hard. It was damnation and salvation wrapped into one. I wanted to kiss him until I stopped being angry and terrified, until I stopped thinking about my family being held against their will, until the demonic world melted away and all I had left was this one moment of pure oblivion. Wrath was still for a beat before he met my lips with equal hunger. His hand slid down to my hips, anchoring me in place. It wasn't nearly close enough. I pressed myself against him. He was gentle at first. Then I swept my tongue into his mouth, and he came undone. He kissed me back hard. Then his teeth were against my throat, in the exact spot he'd flicked his tongue over the night he used that spell to bring me back from the edge of death. I hadn't been sure it had actually happened. Now I knew it had. For one startling moment, I imagined him ripping out my throat. The fear quickly passed and was replaced by pure desire. I gasped from the unexpected sensation. I swore I felt the strange heat from that first encounter simmering beneath my skin now. I wanted him to devour me. Or maybe I wished to devour him. I hated how good he felt, how right. I'd kissed boys before, drunkenly and on dares. Chaste kisses and passionate kisses. But none that were like this. Powerful, savage, sweet. A reckoning awoke in me. The more I gave, the more he returned. We traded kisses like blows. And if this were a fight, I would know who was winning. I understood why some thought kissing one of the wicked was addictive. Each time his tongue touched mine, it felt as if the ground beneath me quaked, like we were a cataclysmic event that shouldn't be. It only made me kiss him harder, faster. I tugged at his shirt, wanting it off. I wanted nothing between us. Buttons hit the ground as I yanked at the material. I dragged my fingers down the ridges of his hard stomach. His hands on my body felt like magic. It was more intense, more seductive than any spell. Somehow, we were now up against a column. I don't remember moving. Maybe because all I could concentrate on was the way he was currently moving against me, hoisting me up. I wanted to rip off the rest of his clothes and see what else he could do. Discover what other feelings he could awaken in me. His hand slid down to my calf, then trailed up slowly, pulling my skirts with it. He didn't stop, and I didn't want him to. I tipped my head back, giving him access to my throat again as he paused with his hand on my thigh. I leaned into his touch, wanting him so badly I was almost driven to madness. Somehow, I kept my hand on his chest and pulled away from kissing him long enough to ask, "Was Envy lying when he said you need to deliver one more soul to gain your freedom?" He startled away, but not before I got my answer in the form of a singular, thrashing beat of his heart. Understanding dawned before he shuttered his expression and moved out from my reach. Anger filled the space around us, burning brighter and more furious than our passion.
"What is this, witch? Have you lowered yourself to kissing someone you hate after all?"
I stared at him, unblinking. It was true. I couldn't manage anything besides a slight shake of my head. My eyes stung with unshed tears. Envy hadn't lied. Wrath was after a soul. The realization hit me like a physical blow. I'd felt foolish when I discovered I'd accidentally betrothed us. But this... I was going to be sick. Wrath's anger seemed to dissipate when he noticed the look on my face. He stepped forward, hand outstretched, stopping only when I shook my head again. He let his arm drop.
Emilia, I...
Don't! He seemed ready to argue, but listened. Long seconds passed. I concentrated on steadying my breaths, letting my feelings untangle themselves. I was angry with him, but I was furious with myself more. I realized I'd wanted to trust Rath more than I'd even admitted to myself. Even though I knew better, I wanted him to be the shining prince of this nightmare. I'd fallen under his spell, and while there were times I loathed him, I'd also started to enjoy his company. He'd distracted me from the pain of losing my sister, gave me something to focus on. Here was someone I could jab and who'd jab right back. And now, it was like lust re-emerged and wrenched every last drop of happiness from me again. Only this time, there was only me to blame. I'd let him in, and I should have known better.
Emilia.
I can't.
Rath curled his hand at his side.
Envy whispers in your ear, and every action I've taken is wiped off your imaginary tally. Tell me, Emilia, what has he done for you, aside from trying to carve out your heart? What honorable thing did he do to deserve your trust? Spill the blood of those you love? Maybe you like threats. Maybe I should make some of my own.
The ground seemed to rumble with the force of his anger. He wanted me to study my enemies closely, and I'd done just that.
Tell me it's not true, then, I said, surprised when my voice came out hard and not pleading.
That Envy was lying, that you don't need to collect one more soul to gain your freedom. Tell me part of the reason you accepted this mission wasn't to use a witch for your benefit. Better yet, tell me you haven't considered using my soul. Can you do that? Or does our summoning bond make it impossible? Because it's a lie. For once, Rath didn't seem to have an answer. He looked ready to lay waste to the rest of the crumbling palace. I was surprised when he didn't.
Envy is many things, I said, my voice low. Despicable. Selfish, conniving. But he doesn't hide those things. He told me what you were really after. He told me what he wanted and what he would do if I didn't listen. He's made terrible threats, acted on them. But he never deceived me or pretended to be anything other than what he is. And there it was. Despair crashed into me, heart.
Rath had lied. Maybe not outright, but he'd lied through omission, which was still lying. I wanted to strike out at him, to make him hurt the same way I did. Instead, I turned and started walking away. Nonna tried to warn us about the Malvagi's lies. I should have listened. He stepped into my path, moving almost faster than my senses could detect.
Have my actions not told you the truth? Forget the last several weeks. Saving your life from the Viperidae. The impenetrable palace. The elemental bath. Do you think I need to sleep in a place protected by magic? I, who cannot be killed.
I don't have time for this. I marched past him toward the stairs. I'm going back home to stay with my family. Envy is holding them captive.
Something else he said that turned out to be true. He stormed up after me.
No.
I don't recall asking for permission, demon.
Envy will stick a dagger in your back the second he gets what he's after.
Am I your prisoner now?
No. But I'd be happy to toss you in a dungeon if that's what you'd like.
I ignored him and rummaged through new dresses that had magically appeared in a broken dresser sometime in the last few hours. Rath had a serious obsession with providing clothing for me. I found a simple charcoal dress that would be easy to run in and laid it across the bed. I couldn't believe I know how to choose my wardrobe based on if I could easily flee from a demon, vampire, or other nasty assailant. Wrath crossed his arms and set his feet. If he thought I'd hesitate to change in front of him, he had much to learn of me. I stepped out of my current dress, and the silky material pooled at my feet. Wrath watched impassively as I slipped into the new ensemble. Now that I knew that Envy wanted the Horn of Hades, I needed to locate my amulet. Immediately. Before I handed it over, I'd strike a bargain with him. I'd make him vow to lock the gates of hell before any more demons snuck through them. And then he could go to war with the entire underworld. As long as our world was protected, I didn't care what happened in their realm. I tied my long hair up with a ribbon, fastened a small belt with a pouch around my waist, and added moon-blessed chalk and dried yarrow to it. It was the best I could do by way of protecting myself. I left the room and headed back down the stairs. Wrath followed me through the corridor and paused near the door to the gardens. I stuck an arm out and barred him from crossing the threshold. Do not come after me, I mean it.
Amelia, please, don't.
I swear on my blood, if you follow me, I will sever our summoning bond and send you straight to hell. Wrath pressed his lips together, the only outward indication he was less than pleased, but didn't argue or make a move to come with me again. Feeling relieved, I slipped out the garden exit, pushed through a tangle of vines and overgrown shrubs, and darted into the night. Chapter 41. Two doors away from home, I became aware of the near silent footfall behind me. After the night I'd had, with my best friend scrying from hell, thirsty vampires, and devious demon kidnappers, I wasn't sure what to expect. There were any number of nasties out for witch blood. Maybe the Umbra demon was back, or another Appa demon was in pursuit. For some reason, I thought about Envy and Greed teaming up to collect the Horn of Hades before divesting me of my skin, and shivered. I wasn't at all prepared for Fratello Carmine. His dark robe swished across the stones, like little whispers of warnings to run and hide. I quickly wedged myself between two buildings next door to my house, heart hammering as the sound of his pursuit grew closer. He kept a steady pace, head swiveling from side to side as he passed me by. I wasn't sure who he was looking for. Maybe he was trying to find where Antonio had brought Claudia. I should have known he wouldn't let my friend leave without being sure the devil wasn't in her. I waited a few beats before I peered around the side of the house. He'd stopped near the end of the street and was having a hushed conversation with another member of the Brotherhood. Fragments drifted over to where I hid.
Antonio, the knight, unholy, missing.
Found? Signs. I leaned against the building and took a few deep breaths. Antonio was missing because a prince of hell was holding him hostage. And it was all my fault for asking him to walk Claudia home. I needed to fix this before anyone else got hurt. Brother Carmine hardly needed a reason to start a witch hunt. The mere fact that he'd been called back from wherever the church had sent him was a sign they believed the devil was on the prowl. I slipped out from the shadows and hurried into my house. There were three demons crammed inside the kitchen with my family. One was the ram-headed demon that Envy still had guarding my parents. The other was nothing more than a dense shadow hovering above Nonna and a slumped and sedated Claudia, the Umbra demon. Antonio wasn't among the group, and my stomach twisted with worry. I wasn't sure how demons felt about humans who devoted themselves to God, but it didn't bode well for my childhood friend. I also didn't see the vampire anywhere. I hoped that didn't mean he was feasting on Antonio. The final demon in the room was the traitor prince himself, Envy. "Where's Alexei?" I asked, not wanting any other surprises.
"He's back in the kingdom, watching over House Envy until I return."
Envy lounged on Nonna's rocking chair, his boots kicked up onto our island. Dirt splattered the stone top. The very place where my sister used to labor over potions and drinks. Something dark and vicious ignited inside me at the sight. Envy didn't appear concerned.
Unless you have the other amulet, pet, this visit is most unwelcome.
Maybe it was the simmering rage I tried smothering after my encounter with Wrath. Or the sight of my loved ones huddled on the floor in our own home. Or pure recklessness. But I'd had it. I marched over and smacked Envy's boots off our island.
Show a little respect, your highness. This might be how you treat things in your hellhole. But this is our home.
Envy's blade was at my throat before I had time to blink.
You asked Wrath about the soul, didn't you? I imagine you didn't like what he had to say.
He pressed the dagger a little harder. I felt a slight prick as it pierced my skin. I held still, not daring to breathe.
Do not take your own wrath out on me, or I will turn this blade loose on your grandmother. There's nothing quite as satisfying as watching a witch bleed. Especially one who... Silentium!
The spell rang out through the room as if Envy's words had been cut off with the swish of a knife. Nonna rose up from the ground, a faint purple glow surrounding her. I couldn't believe it. She'd forced the demon prince into silence. She clutched her cornicello and began chanting a spell I'd never heard. I stared, unblinking, as her voice grew stronger. I didn't know she'd healed. The demons didn't seem to realize it either, an error they were about to pay for. Nonna drew an image in the space before her, and a glowing, unearthly Chimaruta charm appeared there. I was so stunned by her show of power, I didn't notice the glittering black portal forming behind Envy. My mouth opened in shock. Holy goddess above! The purple light surrounding Nonna ended in tips of silver now. Envy, for the first time, looked worried. He took a small step backward, eyes flashing toward his demons, but Nonna yanked a handful of dried fennel from her skirt pocket and whispered an enchantment that locked his feet in place. A flick of her wrist and black thread spooled into the air before the Prince of Hell, then slithered towards his feet like serpents. The other two demons moved toward Envy, only to be driven back by black shadows spun from the spell. I could barely hear over the pounding of my heart when I saw what my grandmother had done. She'd magically sewn his feet to the floor. Now he couldn't speak or move. His eyes widened enough to show the whites. Nonna returned to her spell.
A key to lock, a moon to guide.
My attention flew back to the magical image of a rue branch, as each of the five stalks began shifting and stretching into different shapes. A key and a full moon formed at the end of two branches. I suddenly knew exactly what Nonna was doing. She caught my eye.
Now, Emilia.
I held onto Vittoria's cornicello and focused on the glowing Chimaruta, feeding Nonna's spell with my own power. A dagger to kill, a snake to die. Two more images appeared on the glowing charm. Nonna nodded in approval, and we set the final part of the spell together, our voices ringing as the swirling vortex of wind howled inside the portal.
Blessed owl, go forth and fly.
The final image burst at the end of the Chimaruta. Now, all five charms pulsed with purple light. Nonna walked over to where Envy stood, frozen, leaned in, and whispered something that made his eyes widen even more. Then, she planted both hands on his chest and sent him straight to hell. The two remaining demons dove through the portal after him. Nonna dropped her amulet and slumped against the island. The Chimaruta faded away. A breath later, the portal closed. Silence blanketed the room. I kind of felt like falling to my knees or throwing up. My attention shifted to my parents, who were still in that foggy, near-unconscious state. Claudia was also slumped over, her eyes shut as if in sleep. Whatever magic Envy had used on them must need time to wear off. Norna crossed the tiny kitchen and plopped into her rocking chair.
Grab the wine from the icebox and take a seat, Bambina. We have much to discuss, and not much time. That spell won't last for long. I have a feeling he'll be back.
I stared at my grandmother. She just drew a glowing Chimaruta and banished a prince of hell to the underworld. And instead of looking drained, her eyes were alight. In fact, if I looked closely, I swore little twinkling stars shined in her irises. What kind of magic was that?
The kind that will demand payment. Now get me the wine. I poured two glasses and handed one to Nonna.
She took a deep pull and exhaled. While she sipped from her glass again, I set mine down and pulled my hair back. The spell we'd used had made me break a sweat. Nonna's attention snapped to my neck, her color draining.
You've been marked.
By Envy's blade? I rubbed at the place on my neck where he'd pressed his dagger. I didn't think he'd cut me that deeply.
No, Bambina. You've been marked by a prince of the underworld in a different way. It's supposedly a high honor among their ruling houses. Very few are given them.
She had to be mistaken. Instead of arguing, I headed into our little bathing chamber. I moved my hair to the side and leaned in. I didn't notice anything unusual, let alone a special mark.
See?
Nonna appeared behind me and traced the area. She must have used some spell, because suddenly a tiny shimmering S gleamed back at me. I squinted. Or was that a snake? I stood there, unmoving. It was the place Wrath's tongue moved across me the night I'd almost died in the Viperidae attack. He'd also traced it again earlier tonight. I tentatively reached up and brushed my fingers across it. Coolness bit into my skin.
I frowned. What does it do?
Nonna didn't seem at all pleased.
It allows you to summon the demon who placed it there without the use of an object that belongs to him. As long as the Prince of Hell draws breath, nothing will prevent him from answering the summoning.
You mean I can just summon him without his dagger?
Nonna nodded slowly.
She seemed on the verge of a lecture, so I quickly let my hair fall back down.
It's a dangerous thing, Emilia. Who placed that on you?
There was no point in lying. The Prince of Wrath.
Are you certain? She asked.
I nodded. Wrath had been the only one who touched me. I tried not to think about his lips on my neck earlier tonight, or how it had made me feel. Nonna just stared for another minute.
I suppose there's no denying it now.
Denying what?
The prophecy. Back when I was a young woman, I was entrusted with being one of the keepers of the Horn of Hades.
I was at a loss for words. I replayed her confession and somehow managed to formulate a few decent questions. Keepers? I asked. How many are there? And what prophecy?
Patience. I'll get to that, Bambina.
My hand moved to my sister's amulet. Did you ever wear them?
No, never. Each generation, dating back from when La Prima first handed them off, a witch was chosen to guard them. We were told of an ancient prophecy involving twin witches. When they were born, on the night of a terrible storm, only then could the amulets be worn.
I took a deep breath. It was a lot to absorb at once. How do you know Vittoria and I are the subjects? Maybe there are other twins.
No other twin witches, both with magic, have been born into this line.
Ever? I asked.
Nonna shook her head.
What exactly was the prophecy about?
Nonna took another long pull on her wine, her expression sad. The twins would signal the end of the devil's curse and would be forced to make great sacrifices to keep the gates of hell intact. If they chose to do nothing, hell will reign on earth. The twins are meant to bring balance to both realms, as above, so below.
My heart thrummed. There was something about that phrase, something buried deep. I'd heard it before, twice. The first time was under Lust's influence, and then when I was recovering afterward with Wrath. What does that part mean exactly?
No one knows for certain, Nonna said,
her attention shifting to where my parents were now stirring.
It has been a constant argument among the 13 witch families of Palermo. Some believe it refers to the use of light and dark magic. Few think it means a prince will fall in love with a witch. Others believe it means one twin will rule in hell to stop this world from being destroyed. And then there are others who think both twins are meant to sacrifice themselves to save both realms. One to heaven, and the other to hell.
How does being marked fit in with...
If the prophecy holds true, there's not much time left. The gates are breaking.
Nonna suddenly pushed me out of the small room and down the corridor.
You must run, Amelia. Leave us here and go. We'll wait a day or so, and then go into hiding as well. We will find a way to meet again one day. For now, you must leave here and do not draw another Prince of Hell's attention. Do you understand? Do not trust them, any of them. We will find a way to temporarily spell the gates. You concentrate on staying hidden.
I can't.
You will. You will because you must. Leave here before that demon returns. We will find a way to stop the prophecy. We just need some time.
Nonna cupped my face tenderly, her brown eyes watering.
Love is the most powerful magic. Above all else, remember that. It will always guide you where you need to go.
She dropped her hands and stepped back.
Now go, Bambina. Go, be brave. Your heart will conquer darkness. Trust in that.
Chapter 42. I stumbled out of our house and into the street. Dawn painted streaks of red and gold across the sky. I stared up at it, trying to orient myself to my new reality. The world was the same as it had always been, but felt irrevocably changed. A prophecy foretelling disaster. I dragged in another breath. I couldn't believe no one had told us about it before. Knowing my very existence might signal the end of Earth's days was kind of a big secret to keep, especially if there wasn't much time left before the gates of hell crashed open. I also could not believe Nonna had taken on a prince of hell and won. And being marked by Wrath. Everything was happening much too quickly. I could barely process it all. I glanced over my shoulder at my home, hearing the slight murmur of voices. My parents were fully awake, thank the goddess. I rushed back up the stairs and halted, hand hovering above the knob. I wanted more than anything to go in and hug my parents, to tell them I loved them, but couldn't.
Tears stung my eyes as I hurried away. I didn't want to leave them. But if what Nonna said about the prophecy was true, everyone would be safer without me. I quickly walked through the streets, trying to figure out a plan. I wondered if my sister had found out about the prophecy. If she had, it explained why she thought accepting the devil's bargain was necessary. Maybe she'd been trying to save me. Between the gates of hell crumbling and the prophecy, the choices were dwindling on how to stop more chaos from arriving. I walked past the marketplace, avoiding the stalls of vendors I knew, skirting the edge of the crowds, and ended up on a steep street facing the sea. I was thinking a lot about what Nonna said, about love being the most powerful magic. I wasn't sure if that was true in the literal sense, but love for my twin had made me stronger. In the months following Vittoria's murder, I'd left my comfort behind in favor of helping give her peace. I'd summoned a demon and encountered four princes of hell. I'd fought a giant snake-like demon, been chased and almost bitten by another, and had survived it all. I tricked information out of greed. I learned cunning from wrath. I didn't know I was a fighter before all this. Now I knew I could and would do anything for the people I loved. I reached for Vittoria's amulet, wanting to feel connected to her. I wished she could have seen Nonna fighting off a demon prince. As my fingers clasped it, some tiny detail surfaced. I don't know how the connection was made, but suddenly there it was. Fennel. Nonna had used dried fennel on Envy. And it wasn't the first time I saw fennel in connection with something related to fighting the wicked. Wrath had pointed out that the image painted on the door to that old fisherman's storage building had a paw holding a stalk of fennel, not weed, like I'd originally thought. Which meant... My pulse raced. I thought about more stories from our childhood. I knew that symbol. It wasn't in Vittoria's diary, and it didn't belong to any demon prince either. Quite the opposite. I hadn't thought about the legends since the night in the monastery when Antonio mentioned them. But it symbolized an ancient order of shapeshifters who were said to battle evil. Almost everyone in the Kingdom of Italy had heard stories of the mighty shapeshifters growing up. Talk eventually turned them into myths, but that didn't mean they weren't real and still around. The villagers Antonio had spoken to seemed to think they were very much alive and well and gathering again. Excitement thrummed through me. If an ancient sect of warriors was living in Palermo, maybe it was time to see if they'd like to help rid the city of the demons invading it. Regardless of anything, I felt something supernatural in that room with the fishing gear. And now, I was going to find out exactly what I'd sensed. Inside the abandoned building with the painted shapeshifter symbol, all was eerily still and quiet, like the room itself was waiting, breath held, for its secrets to be discovered. There was something in here I needed to find. I knew it. I felt it. Now I scan the miscellaneous items carefully, dragging my attention over each floorboard, each corner, and every last item I could see. Fishing nets and tackle still lay in the same heaps. This time, however, I decided to see if my Luchicare would locate the magical object the way my sister was able to hear them quietly whispering to her. I held on to Vittoria's cornicello and concentrated hard on my talent, trying to force the lavender aura to manifest. That didn't happen. But something strange did. The more I tried to focus on the Luchicare, the more attuned I became to sounds. I closed my eyes, listening to a slight humming that called to me. There was something familiar about it I couldn't quite place. I let go of rational thinking and gave myself over to my senses completely. I stepped to my right, and the sound faded. I inhaled deeply,
recentered my focus, and moved left. The humming came back. I inched toward it, pausing and refocusing each time it started to fade. The closer I got, the louder and steadier it became. I took a final step forward, then stopped. I opened my eyes. I'd been guided to the far wall where the fishing hooks were hung up in neat rows. I recalled scanning it the day Wrath and I had ventured inside. I'd been drawn to it then, but hadn't trusted my instincts. I ran my fingers over the hooks. Some were shiny, others dulled by use and rust. I came to the end of the wall and paused. One very ordinary-looking hook seemed to hum the closer I drew to it. I backed up, and the sound disappeared. I focused again, and it returned. I blew out a breath and let go of the questions I had no answers to. I wasn't sure what to do, but reached over to remove the old hook from the wall. As I tugged on it, a secret door behind it clicked open. Holy goddess above, I hadn't expected that. I glanced sharply over my shoulder, worried there was an invisible spy lurking behind me, waiting to report back to whoever it worked for. I scanned the room slowly, but unless there were multiple Umbra demons in the city, the one hired by Envy was gone. I shook the chills away and turned back to the secret door. I swore I heard the distant whispers of many voices coming from inside the hidden passage. I thought about Vittoria's diary, about the lines she'd tried to decipher that had been jumbled like Claudia's scrying session. I followed the hum of voices into a cave, high above the sea. I found it there, buried deep within the earth. I managed to understand one line before it descended into chaos. I thought about the it she mentioned. If we'd each been wearing part of the Horn of Hades our whole lives, then that couldn't be the mysterious it she'd been referring to. So what, then, had she heard whispering to her high above the sea? What had Vittoria dug up and decided to hide again, somewhere far from the Malvagi? I peered at the secret door, wondering if I'd be brave enough to see where it led. Whispers called to me, a little louder, a little more insistent. My palms dampened. Maybe wearing Vittoria's cornicello gave me access to her magic, which meant whatever had drawn my sister to that cave above the sea was now calling to me. If I truly wanted to find out what happened to Vittoria, I needed to see what was behind that door. With a quick prayer to the goddess, I held her cornicello tightly and stepped into the secret passage. Chapter 43. A crumbling old set of stairs greeted me. I hesitated at the top step, peering down into the darkness below. There were no torches or lights to guide me once I descended into the abyss. Only spiderwebs and the unmistakable urge to run in the opposite direction. The whispers were much louder and more excited in here, and covered up other noises. If someone or something followed me in, I wouldn't know it until they were almost on top of me. I rubbed my thumb across the smoothness of the cornicello. I was a goddess-blessed witch, wearing one of the devil's horns. Surely I could find a way to cast a little light. I concentrated hard on my sister's cornicello, imagining the times that strange purple light emerged, and the tiniest glow appeared. It wasn't much, but it would be enough to light my path. I exhaled and began the long trek down. I kept one hand around my amulet and the other against the wall, making sure I didn't lose my balance and go tumbling to my death. It took a minute or two, but I finally reached the bottom. I swept my attention around, ensuring I wasn't about to be attacked. I was in a tunnel that reminded me of the location of the Viperidae nest. I fought a shudder. I sincerely hoped I wouldn't run into it again. Keeping those fears from taking root, I forged ahead.
A few meters down, the tunnel forked off in two directions. The path on my left seemed to incline steadily, cutting off my view. The one on my right looked like it went on for a while before twisting to the right. Honestly, neither one seemed like a fun journey, but I wasn't here for a good time. I closed my eyes and listened to the magic leading me. The whispers were louder on the right, and the slight tug in my center pulled me that way. So that was the direction I chose. I lost track of how much time had passed when I abruptly halted. My sister's amulet had gone from a slight purple glow to a strong pulsating light. I'd never seen either of our amulets act that way before, and immediately became suspicious. I glanced around, searching for the cause, and saw a crude cross painted on the wall. I must be underneath the church. I went to look away, but something caught my attention. There, buried a little by dirt, was a glint of silver. Whispers excitedly chittered. Pulse racing, I inched close and bent to brush the dirt away. My missing amulet glowed in welcome. I snatched it up and went to loop it over my neck, then stopped. Nonna said they must never touch. I wasn't sure if that mattered anymore, but didn't want to chance another catastrophe. I took my sister's amulet off and stuck it into my secret skirt pocket. The moment my cornicello laid against my skin, my shoulders relaxed. I hadn't realized how much tension I'd been carrying. It might be one of the devil's horns, but now it belonged to me. I stood up and looked around. I'd been expecting to find a secret meeting location of shapeshifters, but there were no doors or offshoots. I was considering my options when I heard a sound that wasn't a result of magical objects whispering. Someone was down here. It might be whoever had painted that symbol on the door, or it might be something much worse. I considered running, but that wouldn't be wise. Whatever big bad creature was out there would probably love to give chase. I glanced straight ahead, happy to see the turnoff a few short meters away. If I ran, I might be able to lose whatever was following me. I didn't waste another second considering it. I charged toward the next tunnel. I rounded the corner and hurried into the shadows, drew a quick protection circle, then pressed myself into a damp recess, hidden from view. A slight displacement of pebbles indicated my stalker hadn't given up. I held my breath, worried the slightest intake or exhalation would give me away. My pursuer paused close enough that I could just make out his features, and I bit back a string of curses. "Are you completely—" Wrath's hand shot out and covered my mouth before I finished my sentence. He crossed my protection circle without showing any indication it had affected him at all, which should have been impossible because it was keyed with my power. I was too stunned to do something smart, like bite him. "Now that you possess the horn, there are 3 dozen Umbra demons closing in, 2 dozen of which have been following you since you left your house." He removed his hand. "If they attack, I want you to run. Do not look back or linger. Understand?"
What? Nearly 40 invisible assassins had been trailing me. But that wasn't even the most terrifying part. Imagining that many demons invading this world and the damage they could do, it was too much. How did they get here?
"I have 2 guesses. Either the gates are exponentially weakening, or someone summoned them all."
Wrath pressed us more firmly against the stone, his massive body swallowing up any bit of light from my amulet that might give us away.
"If you agree to it, I can transvenio us back to the palace. Will you come with me?"
A slight tug of warning stayed my tongue, which was odd considering I very much wanted him to magic us away from the danger. But it was also highly convenient that I only had his word about the invisible mercenaries. Envy had succeeded in one thing. He'd created doubt. "How does that work, exactly?"
Put simply, you travel through dimensions with me and are deposited at a place of my choosing.
You said I had to agree to it. Does that happen each time?
Once you give permission, it is eternal.
Despite the danger closing in, there was still that nagging feeling I couldn't ignore. I'd rather take my chances with mercenaries than make an eternal bargain. And what else?
He hesitated now, which worried me. Essentially, it feels like you're being incinerated while we shift time and space. It doesn't last more than a second or two.
I stared at him.